Professor, in your speech, you mentioned that the feminist movement in Australia has lost its mojo, as you put it, and that women's voices have been fragmented and that they need a national voice. What would you like to see?
Well, I'd like to see the women who are so currently very active in particular organisations across the country find some way of bringing those organisations together under some kind of umbrella so that we've got identifiable national leaders to talk about women's rights. We have the bureaus of statistics, we've got all sorts of groups that provide data, we've got groups that represent particular groups of women, but we've got women's electoral lobby, for example, that takes a political position. We've got women as scholars, we've got women who are artists and writers. We've got women who represent grandmothers for refugees, for example, and on it goes. So women are trying to do what they can in their ways, but my concern is that we are not actually bringing that power into a forceful environment. We're not really able to use that power to achieve outcomes at the political level. We have far too few women in politics, of course, and one solution is to get more women in politics, and I think we're working towards that, but it's been extremely slow. We are, as I say, about 61st on the global rankings for women in politics. So I think what I'd like to see is a much stronger effort to bring these various groups together under an umbrella organisation that would somehow put a much stronger position for women and really demand some outcomes instead of waiting for a predominantly male political environment to produce the results.
On the topic of the asylum seekers, you mentioned that you would like to see a more humane treatment as a country. How do you define humane?
Well, of course, as President of the Human Rights Commission, I do define that as part of my job by reference to human rights treaties, the Refugees Convention, the Convention on the Rights of the Child in particular, the Convention Against Torture, and, of course, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. But that's not really what most Australians, I think, would understand by humanity. I'm really asking for something very basic, and that is respect for their humanity, for their dignity, and to hold them as we are, to deny them rights within the community and to treat them and denigrate them the way many of our politicians do, usually based on completely false evidence, is wrong. And I think we should, for example, we have about 31 people waiting to have their refugee status assessed, and that's yet to happen. And they've been waiting years and years, some of them in effectively in prison, waiting to be determined as refugees. And I think to refuse to get that process going properly has been one of the most demeaning things that we've done in Australia for a number of years, quite apart from, of course, the conditions in which we hold people on Manus and Nauru, and, of course, still in some of the detention centres. We still hold about 150 children in mandatory closed detention.
And finally, how is your relationship with the new Prime Minister?
Well, I'm pleased to say that I have known the Prime Minister in my former commercial working life and of course, in my academic life as well. So I think the most important thing about this change in Prime Minister is that Mr. Turnbull respects the rule of law, and he respects due process, and he respects the work of the Australian Human Rights Commission. So that is really all that we ask. And if we have a political leader who respects the rule of law, then I think we've got a chance to make progress. But for many years, we've had political leaders who have not respected the rule of law, have not respected basic human rights, and have tried to demean those who need our protection.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.